Gimel Shabbat, Tuesday the 18th of February, Rabbi Amram Nemeth, Hagolas Kalim.
Precious, my father and Dudi is hopefully listening online.
He is. He just sent me a message. He said, where is he? No,
I couldn't find anywhere to park. That's it. So, when I sent him the title, he said, it's a pretty dry and vague. He said, is that all you want for the title? I said, I'm sorry, it's pretty dry. So he said, no, it's pretty wet because it's Hagolas Kalim. He said that. That wasn't me. So that was one of yours. So I'm allowed to get away with saying that. We shall have a fresh day. We look forward to seeing you back to the around with all of us. After discussing all the Yomim Tovim in this week's Parsha Mishpatim, we leave off with a famous pasuk, Lo Yisavash Al Gadi Bachalei V'moi. And the connection is somewhat strange, because after discussing all the Yomim Tovim, then why discuss the halacha of cooking, or getting hana, or eating of meat or milk? And the Malbim explains that throughout the year, in ancient times, there were various times the Goyim would make a festival, Pesach, Shavuos, and especially Sukkos. Sukkos was just like, it's called Chag HaOsav, just like we gather up all our produce, they would make a similar yontif for gathering up the produce as well. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically made the Yomim Tovim then, so that people would focus and channel all of their energies towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Malbim and the Kliyaka say that what used to happen was they used to take a goat and cook it in its mother's milk specifically on their festivals. That was their way of serving Avodah Zarah. So therefore specifically at the end of the parasha, it says, Lo Yisavash Al Gadi Bachalei V'Emoi, don't cook the goat in its mother's milk, so as to say, don't mirror their practices, but rather channel your energies towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not towards the Avodah Zarah. And therefore, that's why it's juxtaposed, and that's, therefore you have the Yomim Tovim, and after the Yomim Tovim, you have the halacha of meat and milk, Lo Yisavash Al Gadi Bachalei V'Emoi. That's what the Kliyaka and the Malbim explain, the connection between the two. So that gives me a way, and I suppose, to talk about Hagolas Kalim slightly. I have quite a bit to say about it, but I thought to put part one was slightly optimistic, just in case you don't want me to come back, so we'll see afterwards whether we'll do part two and part three and part four. So, I think when discussing Hagolas Kalim, then you have to divide each appliance and each plate or spoon or anything you want to do Hagolah to, into four parts. One, did any non-kosher chametz, milk, go inside the appliance that you're discussing? Did anything go in at all? Or was it this a non-absorbable material? Did anything go in? Did chametz or issa or yayin nesech, is it inside? Did it manage to get in? That's number one. Number two, if it goes in, will it come out ever, or will it be stuck in there forever? That's number two. And number three, if you presume, or Chazal will tell you that in this appliance it will go in, how will it come out? What level of heat will you need? And what method of purging would you need to take it out? Hagolo means to take out a non-kosher or chametz substance from a keli in order to use it for something kosher. So first, did it go in? Number two, if it went in, is it possible for it to come out? Number three, well, how are you going to take it out? There are so many methods. There's libun, there's burning, there's hagola, there's boiling water, there's klirishon, there's klisheni. There are various methods to take it out. Which one is necessary? Which is specifically unclear when you have electrical appliances which are not clearly fire or boiling hot water. That's number three. And number four, most importantly, many of the halachas of Hagolah are written in Tof Nun Aleph in Orach Chaim and Hilchos Pesach. And one has to discern and decide how many of those halachas are relevant to the rest of the year as well with regards to Aveh Surim, and how many of them were a chumrah just for Pesach itself. But that's also not clear. And many of the times we discuss the halachas of Hagolah, a lot of the information is given to us specifically in Tof Nun Aleph in Hilchos Pesach. And one has to really understand to see whether these apply to the rest as well. So one, you've got to know whether it went in. Two, if it went in, will it come out? 3, how are you going to take it out? And 4, is Pesach the same as the rest of the year? And therefore, with relevant to what we're going to see soon, if you see a halacha in Hilchas Pesach, can you automatically presume that that's relevant to moving into a new house with a non-kosher kitchen? Or would you say maybe it was different on Pesach, and normally because we're more machmil, than not always? Those are the 4, I think, stages you have to go through. And hopefully, Mr. Shem will go through various appliances to see how they feed into all of them. If one has a piece of food with taste of something non-kosher inside it, or if one has, let's say, a potato with taste of trefa meat inside, this taste you can't have. I think everyone's familiar with that. Right. However, that won't be able to come out unless it's surrounded by liquid. It will stay locked in. It doesn't automatically come out even if you apply heat to it. So if you have, let's say, taste somewhere inside this piece of food, and you've got this piece of food next to it, the Gemara in Chulin Kuf Ches tells us it won't come out. This will stay kosher even if they're both boiling hot. Just because it's hot, it doesn't mean it's extracted. And says the Matcha in Chulin, in Perakol HaBasa, Kol Shekein, in Tof Reish Sadik Beis, if you have 2 pots next to each other, 2 pieces of metal, in one of them you have absorbed non-kosher taste, or chametz taste, or milk, and in the other one you have maybe a kosher pot, or a parav pot, nothing will happen. There'll be no transfer of blias between one pot to the other, even if it's boiling hot. And in Lashon Kodesh, in the Chazal's language, is called Ein Blia Yoytze B'loy Reitev. A piece of taste can't come out unless it's surrounded by sauce helping it extract. It will stay in, even if it's boiling hot. You take a trefa pot, and you put next to the trefa pot a kosher pot. This is full of blias. This will never come out, even if you touch them to each other for the whole time. Now, you're probably thinking of various exceptions to that, which we'll see in a minute. That's rule number 1. And it's learned from a piece of meat with milk inside, another piece of meat next to it. This piece of meat never receives the milk. This milk gets locked inside the chaticha, the piece, forever. And says the matcha, kol shekein shtei kederos. All the more so 2 pots, which the pot presumably finds it harder to give out its blias, because from a harder substance, the blias will stay in and never come out. So presumably, if you have a grate where you put your gas on, with the stove, the black grate at the bottom, and you put a pot on top, even if there are blias inside that, they'll never ever come out. Because it's 2 hard metal pieces against each other. Is everyone with me with this? If you have a gas stove, and on your gas stove you put your pot on, a regular old-fashioned stove with black, I think they're called grates at the bottom, and you put a pot on top of that stove, and after you put it at the top of that stove, even if there's taste absorbed somewhere inside the black grid at the bottom, it won't come out. Because it's not surrounded by sauce. And if it's not surrounded by sauce, it's impossible for that to come out. Is everyone happy with that? I was going to bring, actually, I should have brought the grate. It's just a regular gas stove with a pot on top.
Pad support.
Which was called?
Pad support.
The pad support. Right, sorry? It's impossible for it to come out. And therefore, all the heterim with regards to cooking meat and milk on the same gas stove. There's very little, there are a few machmirim, but very few. And most of us have one. We're happy to put a chicken soup, and afterwards fry some cheese blintzes on the same place. Even though we're so machmir with basar b'chalav and the rest of our kitchen, with 2 sinks and 2 ovens and microwaves, yet when it comes to the gas stove, we're very happy to use the same one. There are various machmirim, of course, but generally speaking, most of us were happy to use it. Why? Because even if there's taste of milk gone into your gas stove, it won't be able to come out. Because it's not surrounded by liquid. And if it's not surrounded by liquid, it will stay in. So I maybe poured some milk onto my gas stove, or it overflowed. I was cooking some cheese and onion soup, and it overflowed. I take it off and I clean it. Obviously, if there's cheese on there, there's a problem. I clean it off. I then put chicken soup on. There's no problem. Because even though this is a milky keli now, it's impossible for that milk to ever jump out into the pot above it. Because there's a rule, like we mentioned in Cholin and in the Matcha, of Ein Bliya Yoytze Beloy Roytev. Taste doesn't come out unless it's surrounded by sauce, even if it's hot. That's number one. Number two, as soon as this milk spills over, the fire will burn it up straight away. And presumably, not 100% sure, before it's even gone into the pad?
Support.
To the support at the bottom. So those are the two reasons why presumably you're allowed to use a milky, the same gas stove for milk and meat, and there's very little machmir in that. I hope that's clear, just in order to carry on. And second of all, because it burns it up. As soon as the milk falls over, it burns it up and it becomes mutter.
Don't do that.
What?
Go into a goyish kitchen and
we
just put out a
kosher
pot and a goyish.
According to Rikivega, yes, there's no problem. He says, Efshish nis you go into you're in a non-Jewish house, there's very little problem in it. The Chokmas Adam here is Machmir, and Moshe says it doesn't make any sense because of these two heterim.
There's no problem.
Moshe says it doesn't make.
It doesn't make sense to be Machmeh.
And on Pesach yet we burn.
Oh, one second. Right.
Sounds so strange.
No, but then it could be a problem if it's at the same time. If it's at the same time, if this is separate time. If at the same time you've got various problems of splattering and etc. Yeah. But so far, so. Yeah, has to, of course. Right. I should stress that. Yeah, if you have cheese or milk or pieces of bacon from the previous tenant below it, it's not recommended. Because that's a regular case of heat with bacon going into a pot. That's a trefa pot. We're talking about, obviously, you cleaned it. I'm sorry for not making that clear. You've cleaned it. And if even at home you have to do the same thing. If you use the gas stove for milk, and a bit's dripped over, you definitely halachically have to clean it before you put the meat on, or you'll have boiling hot cheese at the side of your meaty pot. That's basar b'chol of midaraisa, potentially. Of course, I'm sorry for not pointing that out before everyone threw me out. Of course, we're not, especially if they used it for avodah zara in the times of it, it wouldn't be recommended.
So caterers, you go into a kitchen and they kush everything with such fastidiousness.
Well, just bear with me a second. But generally speaking, generally speaking, there are two heterim. First of all, as soon as it falls down, it burns away. And even if something's gone in, it can't come out. That was rule number two, we said. Something can go in, but it's impossible for it to come out unless there's sauce. Now, you have to clean it first. You can't go to a goyish stove or a milky stove full of meat, milk or non-kosher meat and put your pot on it, it will become completely treif. If you've cleaned it, Haggadah is always discussing blias inside, purging, extracting what's inside to come out. The stump cleaning is regular cleaning, that's not Haggadah's kalim. Haggadah's kalim means what's inside, you're extracting to come out. So it's mutter. Yeah, on Pesach, the Ramah says in Tofnun Aleph, it's asa. Chatzuva tzarech libun, which means the tripod they used to put their pot on top with fire underneath, needs to have libun kal, but it needs to have a libun. You need to burn it, and you need to clean it first. Why? First of all, if any chametz ever came over, it burnt away. Second of all, even if it went in, it won't come out, says the Prima Gadol, even a tiny bit. So let's use a chametz stove for Pesach, and there wouldn't be no problem with the blias inside, because they'll never come out. They stay locked in unless they're surrounded by sauce, like as in a pot. So why do we have to be machmeh? So says Rav Moshe and says the Mishnah Berurah, because of chumra de chametz. We're always extra careful on Pesach, we go to the other extreme, because chametz is not something you separate yourself for the rest of the year. So we go to the other extreme on Pesach, always over and above any halakhic considerations. But we always make it asa. But really, says the Mishnah Berurah, and says the Rav Moshe, halakhically it's muta. There's no problem at all. And therefore, you could use a stove for meat, and then afterwards for milk. Now, why they would burn it in a non-kosher establishment, I'm not 100% sure. Maybe because they're worried their food will, that someone, people won't know the halachas, and food itself will fall onto the grate. And if the food is, they'll put that back into the pot. and that potentially would be a problem. That could be the chumrah. But we all, most of us, I think, in our kitchens use it for meat and milk. Am I correct? Most of us don't have. So there's the proof. The minhag Yisrael definitely is to use one. And maybe in establishments they're worried that people won't know the halachas and for food will fall on the actual black grates itself, they'll make them asa. But so far, if we could just summarize, we said there are four things to know with Haggadah. First of all, did it go in? Second of all, if it went in, can it come out and will it come out? Three, how do you take it out? And four, is Pesach the same? So we've got a grate in a kitchen, a gas stove, which we all use, the old-fashioned one. We'll come up onto the modern ones in a second. The old-fashioned gas one, did it go in? Well, probably, because milk may have fallen over, or non-kosher food may have fallen over. I don't know, 100%, maybe it burnt it. But even, let's say it did go in. Ein blia yaitza b'loi roitza. It can never come out. Unless it's like surrounded by water, and on a stove that never happens. You're not surrounded by water. So therefore it's mutter. Basa t'chalav. So why do we say chatzuva tzarech libun? Why do we paskin in Hilchas Pesach, Tofen and Aleph, you need a libun? Because of chumrat t'chamat, say the paskin. Because we're always extra careful for the tiniest tzad, because chametz is not something people are familiar with keeping away from the rest of the year, so we always go to the other extreme, as we see in Chazal, the whole of the first parak of Pesachim.
All the legendary columns.
Alright, so let's just come on. Right. Let's just establish the old-fashioned ones. Now, the problem is, and Rabbi Kivyega says over here, when it's Aschan of a base guy, Efshe Lahakel. Was if you go to a non-Jewish establishment because of this, on this, he said it's completely mutter. So, potentially, it's mutter. The problem is that nowadays, we have a different problem, because if you move into a new house, we have a glass stove top. And before we move on to how you're going to do Haggadah to an induction stove, hopefully if you invite me back, we'll discuss that next time. And the glass, we're not discussing the Haggadah now. Just discuss what, the colours don't apply over here. And you've got to be much more machmir. Reason number one, your glass stovetop is completely smooth, with four, maybe, hobs, which go red when you put your food on. It's completely smooth. And if something spills over, if you're, let's say, you went to a non-Jewish, let's say, holiday house, and they have a glass stovetop, and maybe it's more than 24 hours old, okay, so it's never going to be lechatchilat, but the other, you're always okay, and you take your kosher pasta, and you put it on the non-Jewish glass stovetop. So you're thinking, Chawa, I've got all these heterim, and none of them apply. First of all, if your water boils over, your pot will be sitting in liquid. Ah, liquid's dangerous, because liquid can extract what's stuck inside the glass and bring it out. Okay, you're thinking glass doesn't take in, but let's say it does. Many poskim say it does. So that means, normally, we say, the blia is stuck inside, and it can never come out. That's by a regular black stove because there's no liquid surrounding it. But by glass, which is flat, which let's say your pasta overflows, it's now sitting in loads of water and it's extracting all the blias from below and putting it inside the pot. So what are you going to do then? Your hatter number one has disappeared. Does that make sense?
It is glass though.
Ceramics.
Okay, just leave that one for a second. Let's just come to that. If not now, then next time.
Is that because it's liquid, you're saying?
Yeah, I would presume so. You basically have no option. Because number one, you're sitting in the liquid. And more importantly, we said the Mishnah Berurah and the Igros Moshe, they base it on two heterim. One heter is that you can't come out. You can have Issa sitting in, but it's impossible for it to come out if not for it being a liquid. Well, that's gone. Because here there is liquid. And if it will overflow, and you're in a goyisha house, the liquid will be all over the stove, extracting all the blias, and then putting them potentially into your pot. On that, the chavastas is makel even, because the chavastas says you have to have loads of liquid. A little stream we see in Tzadik Beis, Sif Zayin, and Yeridea, he says that's mutter. But the Yad Yehuda, many other poskim are machme. If a little liquid will be enough to take it all out. That's number one. Number two, if you have a glass stove top, you have four places that you put it on. However, the middle bit will never get red hot. The middle bit will get hot, but not red hot. It'll be boiling. So you can't apply the heter number two that we saw in the Mishnah Berurah. As soon as it comes out, it burns it up. What about all the non-kosher food that fell in the middle, that didn't fall on the actual fire? So in a regular serve, you never have that, because it will go right to the bottom. And no food is ever going to fall there. But here, on your glass stovetop, you have four places that you put the food. What about all the places in the middle? You can't apply the heter number two, that as soon as it falls off, it burns away. Because you've got four pathways in the middle where that won't happen. So that means we start off by saying that by a regular stove, there's two heterim, which are lechatchila apart from Pesach. One, it will never come out. Let it go in, it will never come out. Two, as soon as it falls down, it will burn away. So it's unlikely it went in anyway, and you can presume it didn't go in. However, both of those don't apply to the modern day ones. One, because if you want to say that, well, it will never come out, it's not true, it will come out. Because your liquid will overflow. And says the Yad Yehuda, it will take all your bleus up and put it into your food. Which will, 1 second. And number two, we said as soon as it falls over, it will burn. But that's not true to all the areas in the middle of a glass stovetop. Because you don't have the fire there. You'll have boiling hot glass, which if you touch it, you'll burn. You'll burn yourself. However, it won't burn it away. Sorry.
How can you use a non-kosher glass in a non-kosher restaurant or hotel?
Is that boiling hot?
No, but the bleus, if you're saying that glass has bleus inside... All
right, officer, so bear with us a second. There's plenty of ways out for that. Hopefully we'll have... Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. So we'll come... There's loads of heterium for that, even before. That's very easy to be making with. But here you've got fire and you've got pots and heat, and there's potentially a problem. Is anyone with me with the problem with the glass? Why it's a problem. Okay, so that's number... So the 4 points that we started off with, of one, does it go in? And two, can it come out? And three, how will it come out? You've got to look at that with regards to the glass stovetop. So with glass, like you mentioned, there are many shitters that nothing goes in. It stays completely smooth and it's not permeable at all, if there's such a word, and everything stays on the surface level. And there's nothing that can ever take anything in, which I presume everyone is familiar with, which is the Raviyah. There are other shitters on the other...
I don't think the hob is pure glass.
Well, ceramic, but ceramic and Pyrex, most people presume they're like roughly the same. You can differentiate, but let's presume they're the same for the time being. Most kashrus authorities, as far as I know, just from reading a bit, they presume they're all the same. They have the same, similar properties. Yeah, fair enough. But for this, most people presume, I understand that they're basically the same. Now, you could presume glass, since it's made of sand, it has cheres and earthenware-like properties. And we know halakhically, a kli cheres yishava, we say in Kodshim. You've got to smash an earthenware pot. You can never use it again. It will never be able to come out. Even if bleus have gone in, it will be impossible to cure. And if it will be impossible to cure, then glass is impossible to cure, then this glass will be impossible to cure and you can't kasher it. That's number two. And there's number three, which is the ritva, which is even if you can kasher it, people will be scared to kasher it. Because they'll always be scared they're cracking the glass. It may not apply to Pyrex, but to most glass, you're going to be worried that maybe if I apply fire to it or a very high level of heat, it will crack. And therefore, you'll be hesitant to do a proper Haggadah. That applies to glass. And four, we'll see in the Magen Avraham, maybe glass is just like a regular metal that you can do Haggadah too. So glass is broad, right? Glass, there's many shitters as to how to understand glass itself. We'll just leave off before next time, just for a summary. I realize there are various minhagim, obviously, I don't know. But this is just what's written here. Klis chuches, a glass, it says Mechabe in Tofnun Aleph and Pesach Chavav, afilu machnisan lekiyum, afilu neshtamash ben chamni, if you use it for heat, ein tzrichim shum heksha. Doesn't need any hagalah at all. So if you're svadi, you can leave now, right? Which is maybe she'ena boiling with a shtifa. That's why I've done the kafas achuz. She'ena boiling with a shtifa ba'al masagi lehu. That means you can wash them and they're okay. So the glass stovetop, wherever you are, even on Pesach and the rest of the year, if you go with a machaba, with a beis yosef, you're completely mutter. That's number one. That's for that. Everyone's, I think, familiar with that on Pesach, especially. Even if it's hot, your glass stove up. Let it all go in. Let rule number one not have been passed. Let the bleus go in. Let it potentially come out or not come out. It doesn't matter because the bleus will never go in because glass is mutter. We're ready on rule number one. Says the Ramah, v'yesh machmirim va'omrim the kliz chukis afilu hagala loy mahani lehu. The Ramah says it's asa. And Haggadah won't work over here. V'chein ha-minag ba'ashkenaz over Medinas Eilu. And so is the minag over here in our countries. So you're going to have a problem with this glass stovetop. Why? Because potentially the bleus will go in, and you'll go in and it will never come out. So how can you take your pot and use it both in a non-kosher establishment and two on Pesach? And it's extremely relevant if you move to a house, I presume, where you have a glass stovetop there from the beginning, and you don't want to replace it necessarily, or if you're staying somewhere for a few weeks, it's impossible to kasher. It's like a kli charas. You can never take it out. You've got glass where the bleers go in, and it will never come out. So all the heterium that we applied at the beginning of the shir won't apply over here. Again, according to the Beis Yosef, you're fine, because the glass is not permeable and nothing will ever go in. Use it in the highest heat possible. It doesn't need hagala. Says the Ramah, it could be like a kli charas. That means the bleers will go in, they'll come out because liquid will spill over, and when you then put your pot on top, they're all going to be extracted. So what are you going to do? So the Minchas Yitzchak says, and he's Badai from the Magen Avram, that this Chumrah will only apply to Hilchas Pesach and not to the rest of the year, which was point number four that we discussed in the beginning. He says, this Chumrah of glass never being able to do Hagolah too, according to the Magen Avram and many other Paskim, was only relevant to Pesach. And that means you can do Hagolah to any glass stovetop that you interact with that you feel is treif. And you don't have to worry about the fact that it will never come out. So given it may be a problem, it's not like the regular stovetop where you can either say ein bleya yotze below rotav, nothing will ever be extracted, or it will get burnt straight away. We pointed out there are two problems with that. And if those two problems are, it will go in, it will come out when liquid is on the surface level of it, and you've got the middle layer, the middle bits of the glass stovetop which the fire never hits. So you'll need to do Hagolah to it. But you can do Hagolah to it. So why did the Ramah say, V'yesh oimrim, atof non alef, d'chli z'chukas afidu Hagolah loy mahani lehu? Hagolah never works for it. It's impossible. That was a chumrah of Pesach, like we discussed at the beginning of the show. That's point number four. And says the Magen Avraham, according to the Minchas Yitzchak, it doesn't matter by the rest of the year. And his proof is, because the Magen Avraham says, b'di'eved ein lahachme im tashmishu. The Magen Avraham says, if you used it, but the Eved, even on Pesach, it's okay. Says the Minchas Yitzchak, every keli that's treif they use for the whole year, but the Eved, if it's after 24 hours, it's okay. Apart from Pesach. And therefore it must be, but the Eved, Ein Lahachme means that we're talking about the rest of the year. We were only ever machme for Pesach and not for the rest of the year itself. So therefore, just to summarize before next time, if you ask me to come back, there was one. The regular stove is completely mutter, apart from the establishments which he said, well, I'm machme to kash those as well. But generally in our kitchens, I think no one is. Everyone's happy to use for meat and milk, and we spoke about the reasons why. Two, the heterium that we said don't apply to glass. And now, if you hold like the mechabot, of course, you'll eat your mutter anyway. Your glass, there's nothing, the bleers are not possible to go in, you won't get past stage one, and therefore it's mutter. If you're not, the Ramah's machme, so what are you going to do the rest of the year? What are you going to do on Pesach? On Pesach, there's not much of an option for you. However, for the rest of the year, according to the Magen Avraham, you can rely on the fact that glass, you could do Hagolah. So next time we'll discuss how you're going to do the Hagolah to the glass stovetop if you're Nesach Ashkenaz and you need to do Hagolah to it. Thank you very much. Yeah.